listeners. Ryan here, co-host to Going the Distance, the Rocky Series podcast. Can't believe it, this is episode 16. We keep going, and we keep going. You keep listening, so we're just going to keep on going until you stop listening. In fact, maybe we'll keep going even if you do stop listening. Today we have a great interview, another great interview. For those wondering, when are we going to get back to reviewing the movies and talking about the movies? Because we finished up Rocky 1 and we've gone into a slew of interviews. Some of you love the interviews, some of you love both the interviews and the movie talk, and some of you just like the movie talk, but we love all of you regardless. But this is our last interview for a while, and we have with us a very special guest, Felice Cannatore, the author of Rocky Spirit, The Rocky Balboa Connection to Success. Burt Young, who played Polly in the movies, of course, referred to this book as a masterpiece. And we talked to Felice about how that came to be as well. So Felice, we just want to say thank you so much for giving me, Ryan, a chance to talk to you. And we have a great interview. A little disclaimer, though. This is what happens when you're a ham and egger, like myself and my brother, Ruben. He's a ham and egger as well. We are not rich. Because we're not rich, we don't have thousands and thousands of dollars of recording equipment. And, some of these big-time podcasters, they've got the fancy equipment with the fancy microphones, the fancy soundboards. Quite frankly, we're just totally grateful that anyone even talks to us. People that have had success in their life talking to a couple of guys on their podcast. So that being said, for some reason, on the cell phone conversation, my voice, and thankfully it's just my voice, a lot of my questions is garbledygook. I'm just going to tell you right now. But the important thing is, the interview is not about me. And I'm not here to plug me or talk about me. So the good news is, Felice came through loud and clear, and he basically reiterated a lot of the questions that I asked anyways. So the audience, you're not going to be lost as to what the heck we're talking about. I apologize that my voice went all gobbledygook. Felice, however, did not. So the important person is heard loud and clear. So enjoy the interview. I apologize for my voice quality on my phone. I don't know what happened, but for some reason the cell reception or something on my end, I don't know. It's weird. It just recorded weird. What can I tell you? Technology. When we get more money, what we're going to do is we're going to fly people out to our house and, and interview them here. All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking a listen. And yes, we're going to, next week, we're going to tackle Rocky 2. And don't forget, we're available on iTunes or Android. Basically, any podcast app that you have, you can find us at Going the Distance, the Rocky series. And if you want, please review us. Give us a review, especially on iTunes. It helps us out, helps us get more listeners. And maybe, just maybe, if we get some more listeners, we can afford that really good equipment. All right, guys, Rocky fans, enjoy this awesome interview.
Hi, this is Felice.
Hey, Felice, it's Ryder Balkan calling. How you doing?
Hi, how are you guys, man?
Good. Thank you so much for allowing me to call and talk to you.
Oh, very cool. Good timing, too.
Why is that?
No, I'm saying you're right on time.
Well, it's funny. I'm actually a few minutes late. I brought my phone up to my parents' suite because they have a nice quiet suite away from my kids so I can talk to you quietly without the kids yelling at us. And
that's funny.
I was up there looking at my email on my phone, and I was like, I couldn't find the phone number. I was like, where is it? Because the Gmail app on the phone sometimes is kind of funky compared to the laptop. I couldn't find your phone.
Gotcha.
So I had to run back down to my house and try to sneak in without waking up the babies and got the phone number, and so I'm a little bit out of breath because I'd like to be timely. The military and me.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Perfect.
How do you say your last name?
Cannatore.
And I assume that's not Scottish.
Nope, that's Italian. Just like the Italian Italian.
Awesome. It says you're award winning.
Yes.
What award is that?
Okay. Well, I won a journalism award. I used to run a newspaper called the Long Island Press.
Okay.
And the Long Island Press was a newspaper in Long Island, New York. And we were the best newspaper in the state of New York 2 out of 3 years. and I won a journalism award for an article that I did on Rocky.
Awesome. What's the name of the article? People can Google it.
Yeah, the article is actually on my website, rockyspirit.org.
Awesome. All right. So, well, before we talk about your book, Rocky Spirit, which you're the author of, Rocky Spirit, the Rocky Balboa Extension to Success, let's talk a little bit about where you were born and all that stuff. A little bit of your background.
Oh, sure. I grew up in Flushing, Queens, in New York. Spent many years there, and that's where, you know, I started my fascination with the Rocky movies. I was 11 years old when I first saw the original Rocky in the movie theaters, and that's the only way that you should see the original Rocky. It was the greatest movie experience of my life.
Now, if you don't mind my asking, how old are you now?
51.
Okay, so you saw it literally when it came out in the theaters.
Oh, absolutely. I saw it for the first time, I think it was in January of 1977.
That's awesome. I envy you, sir.
It came out in November 23rd of 76. And then by the time it filtered down to me, you know, everybody talking about the greatest, oh, you have to see this movie. This movie's unbelievable. By the time I got wind of it, it was, you know, early January, and you know, I ran to see it the second these folks over at a candy store that I used to go to, they were the owners of this candy store luncheonette. They told me, they gave me this movie review that lasted a lifetime.
Why did this movie resonate with you so much at the time? Why do you think it hit you the way it did?
You know, it's a great question. I think it did because I was actually the perfect age. You know, the age to have an impression made upon me. I was, you know, 11 years old, and you just kind of at that age, you're absorbing everything and you're taking it all in.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. 1976, 77 was an exciting time for the country. You know, we were coming off the bicentennial, and there was so many things happening. And then, you know, to see this film about a somebody, person who is fighting their entire life to be a somebody, go the distance and succeed in doing what he wanted to do, it motivated me from the very second I sat in the theater. You know, from the very second that somebody told me to go see that film, I was motivated, and it's motivated me my entire life, every step of the way, every film that's come out, from, you know, from the music to the training montages to, you know, everything about it. Throughout my lifetime, since I was a child, I have used the examples that I've learned from the Rocky films in my life to always go the distance and to never give up. And that, you know, that led me to one of my goals in life. And one of my goals was to be in a Rocky movie. I did everything I could to get into a Rocky movie back in 2005 when they filmed Rocky Balboa.
I do want to get to that because that was one of my questions. First off, I didn't know that was one of your goals. That's pretty awesome.
And yeah, yes.
I guess you could thank Rocky V that you had that opportunity to be in Rocky Balboa, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I loved Rocky V.
Good man.
I thought Rocky V was tremendous because of the message that Rocky V delivers, and it delivers the message of the power of family, and you should always never give up on your family.
That's awesome.
And I think it's a special message, and I think it got lost in the dollars and cents of movie making. The message got lost, and if people just step back and understand what it's all about and understand the performances, especially that young Sage Stallone did in that film, that was a tremendous performance by that young man. With all the pressure that was on him, you know, acting with his dad and everything, he really, really pulled off a great performance.
Oh, I agree, and I like the positive review. I appreciate that. I've always had a soft spot for Rocky V myself, and we kind of give it a hard time on our podcast, but in a loving way. If tell me what you think about this, please. If Rocky V had ended with a fight in the ring, vice a fight in the street,
you know, it needed a little something different, you know, because it was always the same, you know, the same conclusion was the fight in the ring. So I kind of enjoyed the fight in the street. I thought it was pretty cool to, you know, to watch Rocky do some leg takedowns, which I thought was neat. But I think the public probably wanted that fight in the ring. They were used to, you know, to getting that awesome finish. It's probably what they were chiming for. But, you know, as far as resonating with me, a lifelong Rocky fan, I was just happy to see Rocky.
Right, of course. Well, yeah, my first time seeing Rocky, I'm 40 years old. And so I never saw the first two Rockies in the theaters just due to the fact that I was incapable of doing as much. So I saw Rocky III was the first one I saw in the theaters.
Oh, wow. Now, let me tell you about the experience of being in the movie theater. And actually, I just saw the original Rocky about 3 weeks ago with Burt Young. That we did a little something here in Long Island with Burt Young, and he was in attendance, and it was great to see it again. And you know, the movie's been around for 40 years, and people in the theater that night were still cheering, and still laughing, and still enjoying themselves. And you know, I just want to take you back to my experience. Back in 1977. You walk in the theater, and the theater was packed. You know, and we were in a theater. It was called the UA Quartet. And back then, I mean, the UA Quartet, four theaters in one, that was huge. You know, not like these mega theaters now with the 20 theaters, you know.
Right.
But back then, to have four theaters and to have Rocky playing on two of the four screens, you know, taking up half the theater was pretty cool. And not only that, but it was packed, and you had to wait online to get your ticket. And I'm talking now, you know, it's 2 months into the engagement already, and you're still waiting online. And then once you get in, you have to run to get your seats. And I ran, and you know, myself, my brother, and his girl, we went in there. We ran. We got our seats on the. I remember it like it was yesterday. On the left hand side of the theater, and the theater now is a supermarket. So I go back sometimes when I go back to the old neighborhood, and I stand in the supermarket and try to figure out where exactly I was sitting.
Awesome.
So anyway, you go in the theater. As soon as the movie started and the Rocky letters go across the screen, the anticipation of everybody that was in the theater was so exciting, and it built up. Then, of course, you get the montage and the training scene, and, you know, everybody wanted, I looked down the row and I saw my brother, and you know, he was punching in the air, and, you know, he was ready to go and start training and everything, and I saw his excitement on his face. And then you get to the fight scene. And it was like something I never experienced before. I mean, there was a person behind me on the back of my chair, shaking my chair during the fight scene. People were standing up. They were cheering, punch for punch, blow for blow. It was a movie, but you were really at like a live sporting event.
That's awesome.
And that's the feel of it all. And then at the very end, you know, Rocky wins the place. The whole theater erupts. So you can't hear the announcement by the ring announcer of who won. You kind of got to just kind of figure it out, you know. And when you see Apollo Creed bouncing around with his hands up, you know Rocky lost, but it really didn't matter at that point because, A, you knew he went the distance and succeeded in his goal, and, B, you just understood you were treated to a movie of a lifetime. And for me, it actually turned out to be a movie of a lifetime. As it stuck with me for so long. And I thought they could never, ever, ever duplicate that. And they wound up pulling it off in Rocky II because it was the same exact thing in Rocky II, the same excitement, the same applause from the audience. It was, again, like seeing another live event. And that was a super, super thrill for me.
That's awesome. What a great experience. Thank you for sharing that. We kind of don't have it anymore, the theaters the way we used to, do we?
No, it's totally changed. And here's another thing. Back then, your only chance to see a movie was in the movie theater.
Yeah.
If you wanted to see it again, you were back online and you were paying again to see the movie. You know, there was no VCRs. There was no iTunes. There was no DVDs.
Now, do you know how many tickets the original Rocky sold?
You know what? I don't have that answer. You stumped me on that one. Give it to me.
55 million.
55, that's an awesome number.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, no social media. it was all word of mouth of how good that film was and how it spread around the country. They did a brilliant job in marketing the film and a brilliant job all the way around it. And I mentioned it, too, in the book Rocky Spirit, the Rocky Balboa Conditions to Success. It was like something magical was happening. Because everything that they did worked. In a conversation that I had with Burt Young over lunch, he talked about the very same thing. He talked about that magic, and he talked about, you know, everything just coming together. He said it was like the gods brought it together.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Fascinated, Ryan. I'm fascinated every time I go to the Rocky Steps. they're the Rocky Steps. I know they're the Museum of Art. They're officially the Rocky Steps. And every time I go there, no matter what time I've been there in life, I've been there at unique times. Like, I've been there at 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. I've been there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been there at 6 a.m. I've been there so many different times. There is always somebody running up and down those steps every time I was there.
That's amazing.
And to see how many different people from different countries that run up those steps every single day, every single minute, is amazing. And that just tells you the power of these films and their reach, what they've done around the world.
I would assume that Mr. Stallone probably had no idea.
he had large dreams. And I think that's what really propelled it. It was his energy and his dream to do something big and to do something that was meaningful. He probably didn't realize how big it was going to be. He definitely had the energy to push it to where it was, to what it became and what it is today. And you have to give him credit. I mean, what he's done with the franchise and the longevity of the franchise, nobody's done anything like that. There's been no actor, no performer who has done anything of a kind, especially, in my lifetime at least.
I've always said, what other actor or performer, just in the movie industry, has written, created a character that they've starred in and have been nominated twice for the same character?
Right? That doesn't happen often. And look at how many years apart.
Yeah,
I thought, when I was sitting there when we were filming Rocky Balboa, I was sitting in the audience and I had front row seats. I was considered a high roller extra, sitting in the front row of the fight scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
I couldn't even imagine that it was at the time 30 years. I was like, wow, 30 years has gone since, the original Rocky. And here I am sitting in the front row. And I got a really cool story. I wanted to meet Sly. I was waiting for my chance and I'm sitting in the front row. And all of a sudden he comes over towards my seat and kneels down in front of me and starts setting up a scene that was in the seats with the fight promoter. And the fight promoter was sitting, like a row next to me. And so he's kneeling in front of me and he's setting up the picture and I'm sitting there like, wow, to me, he's Rocky Balboa to me. And I'm looking down and I'm like, Rocky Balboa is kneeling down in front of me. That's amazing. that's the Rocky spirit in a nutshell.
Yo, that's amazing, brother. I mean, I have the same love that you have for Rocky and we just admire what you've done and what you've seen. And we'll go back to your book. You mentioned that, I haven't read your book yet, and I would assume there's probably people in our audience that hasn't read it. We'll talk about your book. What made you decide that Rocky's going to be in my life, whatever this is, and then I'm going to write about it? How do you go from that to writing a book?
Well, what happened was, I had this dream. I wanted to be in a Rocky movie, and that was the goal. And I did everything I possibly could to be in the Rocky movie. And then once I was in the once they filmed the movie, that was in December of 2005. The movie wasn't going to come out until December of 2006.
Right.
So, after having this experience, I was on set for 3 days. I did 14 hours a day for 3 days. 3 checks, by the way, which 2 I cashed and 1 I never cashed.
Wow.
It's still sealed in an envelope because I figured, I couldn't get a souvenir better than that. So I kept that around. So anyway, after filming the movie, I said to myself, what's next? What am I going to? And I've been a goal oriented person my whole life in my career. I do sales and marketing, and that's a sport in itself. So I've been always goal oriented. So my next goal was, okay, I think I'm in the film, because as an extra, you don't really know you're in the film until you see, the final cut.
Right.
But I knew that I put my head in the way quite a few times. So I knew that I was going to get there. And then I said, all right, what's next for me? And my next goal was to go to the premiere. I wanted to be at the premiere because I wanted to know that the first time, I appeared on that screen in a Rocky movie, I wanted to see it before anybody else. So I did everything in my power within that year, within that 12-month stretch of trying to find a way to get to the premiere. And this is really where the whole thing happens, because everything I did to try to get to that premiere failed. And, you know, I couldn't believe it all failed. I thought I had it all figured out.
Right.
But almost every step of the way, I reached failure. And in life, once you fail, that's actually your first step to success. So that's a, you know, that's a good philosophical sentence there.
Right.
And it's failures that propel you to the next step. And I guess, you know, I kind of learned that also from the Rocky movies, too. I kept going, and I found a way to finally get to the premiere. And not only did I get to the premiere, but I got these seats to the premiere that are unbelievable. And I think every reader really is going to enjoy reading it to see what seats I got and how I did it and all the things that transpired to getting there. So anyway, I don't want to give too much away. I want them to enjoy the story. I got there, and then at the end of the premiere, at the end of seeing myself on screen, we go to the after party. And basically, you know, being in an after party with, you know, cast members of the film and, you know, just soaking it all in. The after party was actually in the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And what a great place to have a Rocky after party. You know, you're basically right there. So I was one of the last ones to leave the after party. You know, I know you recently interviewed a great guy named Mike Kunda, the Rocky impersonator.
Yes, of course.
Great guy. I think me and him were like the last two to leave. Because I met him there too. And we didn't figure out that, you know, who each other was until years later. But he's a great guy. I'm getting ready to leave the premiere, and you know, my wife's like, "Can we go?" And I'm like, "You know, yes." You know, I knew it was time. I knew I took this thing to the distance. You know, being in the movie, going to the premiere, having all these cool things, and then, you know, we decided to turn around and walk out. And from walking out of the doors of the museum to walking to the top of the Rocky steps, the things that were going on in my mind was like, "Okay, you know, it's over." You know, like, my whole Rocky thing is over. There's nothing left for me to do with Rocky. You know, what do I do? There was no goal next. You know what I mean? I get to the top of the stairs, and I turn around to her, and I say, "One more thing?" And she's like, "What? Now?" You know, my wife's got the patience of a saint. But, you know, at that point, she was really tired. she's like, "What now?" I said, "Can you just take one more picture of me? I just want this one picture standing on the top of the Rocky steps. It's going to, you know, this will be my lasting memory of such a wonderful night." And she's like, "Yes, yes, anything." You know, she just wanted to get back to the hotel, you know?
Right.
So I do the Rocky pose from Rocky Balboa, which was the one arm in the air.
Yes.
She steps back to take the photo, and something magical happened during that photo. And again, the readers in the book will truly, truly enjoy what transpired from that photograph. But that photograph, which is actually a part of the front cover of my book, the picture that she took, that photograph is what motivated me to write a book.
That's awesome. That was really cool, Felipe.
Yeah, when you see the photograph and you see it in color on my website, rockyspirit.org, you will really be amazed by the meaning of the photograph and the power and the energy that went into the whole Rocky thing. You know, life is all about positive energy. The law of attraction plays a major role in the story as well. And it's really, you become what you think about. You know, your life experiences are what you put in your mind. And if you put the good things in your mind, good things will happen. You know, try not to let those negative things in.
I love it. I have a question first. Now, does each movie have a different message for you that kind of resonates that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the first one will always, 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 always be special. The original Rocky is the best movie by far.
Right.
It can never be duplicated. It's tremendous. Everything that went into that movie, every character, every extra, every person that was in it, you know, from the gym attendants to Mickey, of course, to the ice skating rink attendant. I mean, every part of it was special.
I love that scene with the ice cream, you know, when they're doing the bartering and how much to pay for the refund.
It's the best too, you know. And he's
He's the best, man. That was a great scene. You know, you hear a lot of talked about it. There was supposed to be a lot of extras there, and it turned out not to be. And, you know, they went with no extras, and it everything in the film just worked out perfectly. You know, no matter what happened, when things went wrong, it was actually the best thing that happened to the film.
Isn't that
every time something?
Yeah, it's interesting how that worked out for the film. For things that they wrote in the script to do, they have a lot of extras, and there's no extras, but it makes that scene more touching and more personal. It's just the feeling on the ring.
And even a lot of lines in the original were ad libbed. You know, a lot of Mickey's lines were ad libbed.
Yeah,
you're a tomato.
You want a soup kitchen. Then there was the scene with Rocky and Adrian first kissed. I don't know if you knew this, but you probably do. Talia Shire actually had the flu.
Yes.
And so she was really hesitant to kiss Stallone, and she wasn't feeling very good, which just made her character seem more shy and apprehensive. But she was actually she didn't want to kiss Stallone in real life.
I know. It's a big part of the film. It's really where two people who needed somebody, they both were incomplete people. And they came together at that point and made one complete person. And at that exact point, they kind of started to fulfill one complete dream. And it all started coming together. And that was really the jumping off point or the tipping point.
I agree. Now, for Rocky II, in your book, I should ask before, because I don't want to take away from the readers to buy your book. In your book, you talk about each movie and what message it brings.
Yep. So each film, I think, brings a really special message.
Okay. All right. Good.
You know, of course, in all the films, it's about perseverance.
Right.
The power of never giving up and always going the distance and always finding a way. And in the second film, Rocky was at a point in his life, in his movie life, where at the end of the fight, he didn't know where he was going. And he tried a couple of different things, and those things didn't seem to work out. They didn't work out because they weren't really aligned with his lifelong goal, his lifelong passion to become a somebody. And, once he got that second chance, and once everything, Adrian sort of woke up and said, "Win," which is, one of the tremendous movie moments,
Right.
When she did that, it gave him all the energy in the world, and I love the way they did that in the film. I love the way they brought you down as, they took the viewer and they brought the viewer down to the very bottom, with Adrian kind of struggling in the hospital. And then all of a sudden she wakes up and she says one of the great motivational speeches of all time. Win. It was a one-word speech, but it was one of the great ones. And, all of a sudden the music comes on and everything just takes off, and the power and the energy and the excitement, and you just kind of felt it. I'm so happy that he won.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he lost again?
And you know what? Being a kid in the theater, I was sitting there watching it, for the first time in the movie, same theater, UA Quartet, watching it in the theater saying, "Oh, they're not going to do this to me again." they're not going to make them lose again, But then when that count of 10 happened and he stood up, I can't tell you, the theater went absolutely nuts.
That's awesome.
People were high-fiving each other. This was even before high-fives were popular. They were hugging each other. Strangers were hugging me. It was really, really cool. And you just, again, you don't experience any types of movies like that ever.
That is incredible. Truly incredible.
Yep.
Now, your book doesn't cover Creed.
No, it doesn't. It was written before Creed. It doesn't cover it at all, though.
Do you ever think about doing an appendage to it or something? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's a Rocky Spirit 2 in me somewhere. It's a good question because I remember when I was writing the book, I was struggling to finish the book, and I didn't know why. I had most of the book laid out. Most of it was written. It took me 3 years to complete the book. I couldn't get it done. And a very close friend of mine, who's like my Rocky buddy, his name is Pete. He said to me, "You can't finish the book because you haven't lived the ending." And I looked at him and I was like, "Wow, that's very smart. What do you mean by that?" And he says to me, he goes, "Felice, when you live the ending, you'll finish the book."
And that's exactly what happened. I couldn't finish it until I actually lived it, and I lived one of the great endings. And that's, you know, one of the favorite parts of my book too, is how I go through those final two chapters of the book. The book is set up in 15 chapters, so it's 15 rounds. You got to go the distance with May Rocky Spirit. Those last two chapters are really, really exciting and two of my favorites.
Well, I'm going to be buying the book because everyone that we've interviewed, we ended up buying their product. That's our promise to you.
That's cool. Thank you. Thank you for that. And don't forget to give me a review right now on Amazon.com. The book is the most reviewed book connected to the subject of Rocky Balboa in the world.
But you know what?
So very proud of those reviews.
You should be. I was going to tell you, because I, of course, looked at Amazon and read people's reviews and try to get a feel of what it's done for people. Very high reviews. I think it was 99% 5 stars, and one schmuck gave you 4, and that was it.
You know, it's funny because I loved his review, actually, you know, because it's so honest. And you know, you want honest reviews up there. There was one part of the story that, you know, that wasn't his preference. So, you know, everybody has a preference in life, you know, and I was glad that he gave me his complete thoughts. But what I liked about it was, even though there was a part of the book that wasn't his preference,
right,
he also said the book is so worth reading, and I love that.
Right.
And, you know that's an honest review.
No, that's good. We're a newer podcast, and we're going to have 14 episodes that are available on iTunes. And we're always encouraging people to leave reviews, too. I know how you feel, because you want to get that feedback. And we've always said that, please leave us a negative review. I want to hear those, too. I want to hear what people think about us, too. If you're listening and you don't like us, I find that amazing, too. No, what is the law of attraction?
So the law of attraction, you know, it's something that I met up with a woman. Her name was Marcy. And Marcy taught me a lot about the law of attraction, and that's how I started getting interested. She is a heart coach. You know, she started telling me about it and telling me about positive thinking and about how you attract into you everything that you think about. So, you know, the more positive your thoughts are, the more positive your life is going to be. And I started listening to her and really buying into a lot what she was saying. There's a book out there that's pretty famous, that sold millions and millions of copies, about the law of attraction. There's also a DVD related to that book as well. When I started to get interested in it, I went out and I bought the DVD. And I remember, you know, I always had it in my mind, because Marcy had told me, when I sat with her and I told her my Rocky story, she said to me, she says, "You're going to be an author." She says, "You're going to write a book." And I said, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to do that. And she says, "Think again." And when she said "think again," she planted the seed in my mind about, yeah, I can do this. And then all I had to do was nurture the seed and make it grow. So I'm watching this DVD one day in my house about the law of attraction. And there was a person on another very famous author who's done a series of books. And he talks about what inspired him to start his first book. And as he's talking about that on the DVD, almost like automatically, I got out of my seat, went over to my computer, typed the title of the book, put my name, and typed the first paragraph of the book while the DVD was playing in the background. And then I went back to the DVD, and then 3 years later, the book, I was an author of a book. It was all done from that inspiration about the law of attraction and power of positive thinking. And then I got that little push from the law of attraction DVD. And the next thing you know, everything fell into place. So positive thinking plays a big role in life. And what I get a kick out of, nobody really has analyzed the Rocky movies like I have. I've analyzed them to where I've taken them piece by piece and really, you know, shown people what the meanings of all the films are, what different parts and different scenes are, and how they pertain back to the law of attraction and positive thinking. And I'm really proud of my Twitter account. I have a very large Twitter account, at Rocky Spirit. I have a number of followers, and one of my things is, you know, I like to find unique photographs of the Rocky films and post positive words and positive thoughts to motivate people to also find their goals in life and give them the opportunity to go the distance. So I get a real kick out of doing that on a regular basis, and I love the feedback that I get from people around the world. It's really cool.
That's awesome. I love how you talk about kind of spreading the Rocky spirit forward, the positive energy, and those things, even to us as individuals, but you've taken that upon yourself to kind of to keep perpetuating that spirit to other people through your social media and your book. And making people happy in life is probably just makes you feel good in general, I bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime you can share that and you can share that type of positive energy and you know, put a smile on somebody's face. I mentioned Mike before, Mike Kunder. Me and him, we did a promotion a couple of years ago over at the Rocky Steps where we helped a woman with CP. One of her goals in life was, she was in a wheelchair, and one of her goals was to walk or run, up the Rocky Steps. We helped her up the Rocky Steps. And we literally, we grabbed one arm each, we got her all the way up to the top. And it was to get her up to the top of the steps and to share that energy was one of the greatest accomplishments and feelings. I can't even tell you. It was unbelievable. And I bet if you asked him again, he'd say the same thing. That was so exciting. And the adrenaline and the happiness of that woman getting up to the top of the steps. And I got to tell you, I would love to do that even more, especially for kids in need. I'd love to help them and give them an experience of a lifetime and get them up those steps. Because I think those 72 steps really are the meaning of life. Every step is the meaning until you get to the top. And when you get to the top, there's something really super magical on the top of those steps. And it goes all the way back to that photograph that I talked about before. That photograph will kind of sum it up, just how magical it is.
Yes, thank you for bringing up that story. Her name was Brenda, I believe. And I think she also has a story about it on her blog or something. She talks about it. I actually wanted to talk to you about that. So it's funny how all you guys are connected in your own way. When I talked to a bunch of you guys, you've all met each other already in the Rocky world.
Is that cool how we all come together? Yeah, absolutely. And even Mike Vitez, Mike, did the book Rocky Stories,
yep.
Which, I loved. I loved the book. And Mike's book was also a motivation for me to write my book because, I used to run a newspaper company called the Long Island Press. When Mike's book came out in 2006, a copy of the book actually mysteriously landed up on my desk.
Oh, wow.
And even though I was on the business end of the newspaper business, I wasn't on the editorial end. The editor-in-chief came to me and said, listen, I want you to write a review on this book. And he says, if there's anyone in the company that should be writing a review on a Rocky book, it should be you. So I got to review Mike's book. I got to meet Mike. Mike was a big part of my experience also at the premiere. And he helped me out a lot. Mike Vitez. It's amazing how everything all connects.
Okay, so well, I actually had a question about Burt Young.
Oh, sure.
He read your book. How did you get Burt to read your book? How did that happen?
Everything to me in my lifetime has been connected to Rocky in really strange ways, in eerie ways. I've always been connected to it, even since I was a kid. Now, Burt Young and my godfather knew each other back in the day. They were from the same town. They were very friendly back in the day. And at one point, Bert, he used to, I don't know if he tells a lot of people, but I know he tells a story. He used to own a carpet business in a town called Corona, Queens. He actually installed a carpet in my godfather's apartment, which was in my childhood house. So that's the truth, right? Then when right after the original Rocky movie came out, right around the corner from my house at a local diner, Burt Young and Talia Shire were filming a made-for-television movie called Daddy, I Don't Like It This Way. There they were around the corner from my house, and when I heard they were going to be there, and all the excitement of seeing Rocky One, and here was two cast members from the movie right there, I ran, on my bicycle, got on the bicycle, went around the corner, and, I ran into Bert, was introduced to him, told him the connection with my godfather. He treated me so nicely that day. I was the first actor I ever met in real person, And the way he treated me that day really left an impression on me. And I'm so happy, you know, that he did. And then all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, the doors of the diner open up and Talia Shire comes walking down the stairs. You know, and I'm this 11-year-old boy, or 12 years old actually at the time. And, you know, my eyes are open bright as you know, Adrian is walking right towards me.
Oh.
And Bert introduces me to her, and she gives me this kiss on the cheek. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the coolest things ever to, you know, get a kiss on the cheek by Adrian. You know, you're 12 years old. It was fascinating. And that's where it all started with Bert. And then, you know, many years later, I reconnected with him, obviously at the filming of Rocky Balboa, you know, told him that story again. He treated me the 3 days while I was on set. I mean, he treated me like family, came over to me all the time, gave me hugs, you know, asked me how I was doing. How's the family? You know, you had everything you need. Here's where the big scene is going to happen. You make sure you're sitting over here, you know. It was great. He really was. And then, you know, the next thing happens where, you know, I'm at the premiere and I noticed that the county supervisor of where, you know, of Long Island was actually sitting in the row that I was sitting in, because I was also sitting, and I'm going to give a little secret. I was also sitting with the cast members of the film in the same row. And then I saw him. And I made the connection, and, you know, he's actually a good friend of Bert's. A series of other things led to where he set up a lunch for me and Bert. Bert, right now, he lives on Long Island, so he doesn't live too far from me.
Right.
I get to go over to his flat, sit down with him, and view all his paintings. He's an artist. He does some great paintings. See all that, and then we went across the street. We went to this restaurant, and we sat down. And now I thought at the time, I said to myself, what am I going to say to this man for an hour, you know, during lunch? What am I going to talk about? And 3 hours later, we were talking so much, and he's finally, you know, Bert finally says, kid, don't you got to go back to work? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I do. And we had a 3-hour lunch. That was just a fascinating lunch. And, you know, I went over the entire book with him, let him know the entire story, you know, then, you know, eventually shared a copy of the book, got him to give me the endorsement that he did, calling it a masterpiece. I mean, he absolutely loved the story. And to get him to endorse that book and to have him do that for me, was such a great feeling, knowing the attachments I had to him in life. So I feel like, you know, very, very special that I had that opportunity. You know, I do get to see him, you know, quite a few times, because he does a lot of events now on Long Island. He's very charitable. It's great to see him around. You know, he's very young. He's, you know, he stayed at home. He's a member of the community.
Great.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that question.
I was just going to say, this goes to show you how good of an actor Joe Young is to play somebody like Howard.
Oh, yeah, he was unbelievable as an actor. I mean, you know, he got a lot of credit for some of the roles that he did back in the day. You know, I love hearing his story about the scene with the turkey and how much that scene actually hurt him in real life. Emotionally, you know, it's really interesting to hear what he talks about that scene.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I love he said he put so much energy into that scene, and it was so realistic that it really took an effect on him. And you know, he was very fond of Talia Shire.
That's awesome. Now, how did it feel when you first held your book in your hand?
Oh man, that was a major accomplishment. I mean, when it came in the mail and it was in this, you know, like little brown box. And I opened the box and opened it up. The first thing I did was just threw my arms in the air, Rocky style. And, you know, I started dancing around, and my kids were like, what's he doing? Kids, they think I'm crazy, man, when it comes down to Rocky. They think I'm crazy. And I was dancing around and so excited. And I couldn't wait to get out there and bring the book to the world. You know, I'm doing it all on my own. I'm doing it Rocky style, you know, as the underdog. You know, I don't have the big publishers or anything like that. And when I see the reviews I get around the world, and I see how far this book has been purchased from people in different countries. It blows me away. I mean, I'm so proud of it that it had the effect. This one young man from England, he read the story. He was so motivated by the story that he actually got on a plane with his girlfriend at the time to go to the Rocky Steps because of the book, to get to the top of the Rocky Steps to make her not his girlfriend anymore, to make her his fiance. Yeah. He proposed on the top of the Rocky Steps.
No problem.
And that was done out of motivation from the book.
I hope so.
Those types of stories, that's what really motivates me. I mean, my goal was to change at least one person's life with this book. And when I see the effect that I've had on so many people, I'm really, really proud of it. And I'm proud, I'm proud now to be connected to the Rocky series in a special way.
Fleece, that is an awesome story. And I was going to ask you how it's affected other people's lives, and you tied it up very well there. Before we go,
yep,
I have one last question. If you could ask Sylvester Stallone one question, what would it be?
If I could ask him one question, what would it be? That's what I have to think now. What would that question be?
In the movies or his life or anything, that basically he has like a truth serum in him. He has to tell you the truth. What would the question be?
I got one, but I can't say it. I'm sorry, audience. I can't say it. I think if I'm going to ask him a question, it's going to be, I guess I'm going to ask him how much he's enjoyed how Rocky has affected his life.
Good. Great question.
So I'm going to take the mulligan on what I would really ask him, and I'm going to go with that question.
Yeah, I guess there's questions. If he's forced to answer a question, that'd be kind of fun to ask him some stuff.
I know, right? You got to figure out what the question would be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Fleece, it's been an absolute joy and pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for giving my brother couldn't be here during the interview. I apologize for that. That's awesome.
So, all of us Rocky guys stick together. We feel that it's all our, like the torch is passing to us that we carry it on, 40 more years.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? Yeah, that's absolutely the goal.
Yeah.
It's been a complete joy, Fleece, and thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And I hope to talk to you again, and I look forward to reading your book and reviewing it for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Ryan and Ruben, great job, and continue the success and continue doing what you're doing. You guys are going the distance with Rocky. So congratulations, fellas.
Thank you so much, Fleece. Have a good day now.
Ready. Bye. Thank you.